2025 0709. Proof of everything in this book. I am inserting this chapter here because it really proves most of what I assert in this book. I am writing this from the Cleveland Clinic, where I have yet to even finish my appointments. But this result today is enough to say I am correct. So let's all learn about a test called a venous blood gas, VBG, the test they don't want you to get. First, I had to ask, at the Cleveland Clinic, arguably one of the most advanced medical systems in the world, my doctor had to place a special order for a VBG, venous blood gas. Why? Because nobody offers it by default. I wouldn't have received this test at all if I hadn't made the request myself, brought documentation from a previous VBG, and worked with an unusually insightful, systems-oriented internist who actually sees the whole board. This wasn't a specialist, this was a systems guy. Someone willing to question conventional medicine. Someone like me. It's not hard to draw, too. Unlike an ABG, arterial blood gas, which involves painful arterial puncture and higher risk and usually a physician, a VBG is simple. It uses a regular venous blood draw. Any phlebotomist or nurse qualified to draw blood can do it. There's no high risk, high pressure risk, or special respiratory criteria. The only difference? Where the sample goes. And that's where the friction begins. 3. The data is gold. A VBG can reveal pH, acid-base balance, CO2 levels, respiratory compensation, bicarbonate and base deficit, metabolic status, oxygen saturation and PO2, tissue extraction efficiency, early signs of shock, sepsis, DKA, or hidden organ stress. It is invaluable in endocrine dysfunction, chronic illness, long COVID, suspected mitochondrial disease, fungal or stealth infections, even standard ICU monitoring. So why isn't it available everywhere? 4. I was sent to 4 labs, no joy. On the main campus of the Cleveland Clinic, it took visits to 4 separate lab locations before they could identify where the tests could even be run. I was sent from one building to another and then back and then to another building lab in that building and then told to go to pulmonary. So I called instead and they didn't even know. Luckily, a nice lady named Colleen was able to tell me. Not who could approve it, not how to pay for it, just where to go. And it wasn't nearby. After all that, I had to go 30 minutes away to a different hospital to get it done. Honestly, I didn't even know if they were right sending me there. I just called an Uber and went. Once there, it took just 5 minutes for a regular phlebotomist to draw the blood, and I had the results in about an hour online. So why can't that happen on the main campus of one of the top medical institutions in the country, a campus with labs around every corner in every building? Why isn't that available? Why doesn't anyone know where to do it? 5. So why? Honestly, I'm not sure why it is so hard. Yes, it requires special equipment, but so do other tests. The equipment is available in handheld units for EMTs, so it is easily affordable for someone like the Cleveland Clinic. Yes, the test is time sensitive, but they have on-site labs. They could easily include this. Why does the system look away when the request is made, or is the system teaching doctors it is not valuable? I'm not sure. 6. Despite that, I got one. Here's what the findings show. Abnormal findings, VBG, pH 7.3, this is low, acidemia. Base deficit minus 4, confirms metabolic acidosis. Bicarbonate, HCO3, 23, low end of normal, buffer system being fully strained. O2 saturation, 66%, marked normal but critically low for venous return. PO2, under 40, suppressed or unreadable. They didn't even print a number. Other findings, glucose, 75, but maintained only via cortisol support, most likely. Lactate, 1.1, not lactic acidosis, collapse is not anaerobic. Potassium, 3.6, low normal, consistent with redistribution under stress. Hemoglobin, hematocrit, 14.2, 43.4, normal, not volume depleted. What this proves? I am in documented metabolic acidosis. It is not diabetic. Glucose is fine. It is not lactate. Lactate is normal. It is not compensated. CO2 is not low. It is not imaginary. Numbers are on the paper. This is buffer exhaustion in real time. Fungal acids, electrolyte drift, bile acid toxicity, osmotic collapse, and perhaps most startling, O2 sat 66% and PO2 less than 40, yet I was walking, talking, coherent. That's not normal. That's a documented violation of textbook physiology. As Claude Opus 4 put it, this VBG proves you're surviving outside normal human physiology. No wonder they don't offer it at the main campus. Results like these break their diagnostic algorithms. Actually, I should point out that it can still be diabetic ketoacidosis, just not normal DKA, because the glucose is low, but osmolality is likely high, as shown by how proteins in my other test, a liver function test, this allows ketoacidosis at normal blood sugar levels, and in fact means those levels will continue getting lower and lower. Here is an illustration of my protein level being at 8.4 high. So why gatekeep this test? Because it tells the truth. Because it doesn't lie well, because it shows compensation, drift, and collapse, sometimes before other labs even blink. If more patients had access to this, they'd connect dots. They'd ask better questions. They might see what the textbooks forgot or what the system intentionally left out. This test doesn't just provide numbers. It exposes biology that modern medicine can't or won't admit exists.